Brother Seidel is bringing us a word of the Lord. He preached last Wednesday night and did a superb job. Let's welcome him to the pulpit. God bless you, Brother Seidel. We love you.
Hallelujah. I don't know, that sounded like preaching to me. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad we're in the house of God tonight? Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost right here, right now. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost right here, right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about tonight, hello, God speaking. Amen. I think we just heard a word from the Lord. Amen. I saw Pastor Grant come up here, and I told Pastor McNair, Collier McNair, I said, he's about to assert some pastoral authority. I've seen that walk before. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, to John, the 10th chapter. Maybe we should go to Hebrews and talk about no chastisement is pleasant for the moment. John 10, verse 27. I promise you, Pastor Grant's asserted his authority in my life once or twice. Why, it's fun to watch it directed somewhere else once. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Praise God. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Jesus, for your voice, which we want to hear, O God. Help us to understand your word. Help us, O God, to be open and receptive to the leadership of your spirit. Each of us, help me, O God, to be a vessel, to be responsive to the leadership of your spirit as I handle the word of God before this congregation. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory and the honor. And everyone said amen. 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 You may be seated. My focus here is on the first verse of the passage that we read, but we want to remember, of course, that when the whole purpose for Jesus having come in the flesh and manifesting himself and for the word of God being manifest in our world today and for him speaking the word of God and his visitation upon the earth was that we all might know God and we might have eternal life and be with him forever and ever and ever. Praise God. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them and they follow me. Everyone said follow. Praise God. I want to hear the voice of God tonight. Praise God. I want to hear the voice of God tomorrow. I want to hear the voice of God on Tuesday. I need to hear the voice of God every day of my life. Most of us want God to hear us when we pray. That's what we focus on frequently or most regularly is, oh God, hear me. I want God to hear my voice. I want God to hear me when he promises to hear us when we pray. Amen. There are other some circumstances, other necessities. We have to pray according to his will. We need to make sure that our heart is right and that we're pure in heart. We want to seek God for the right reasons. But if we do things according to his word, he says that he will hear us when we pray, regardless of the circumstances, no matter how bad things are for you, no matter how bad you have been, no matter what things have gone on in your life, if you come to God with a repentant and a broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says he will hear your voice. Praise God, that's a promise. That's a promise I cling to every day. I'm so glad that I can come to God in repentance and ask Him to forgive me when I need forgiveness, because then I can receive from Him again the blessings that I need in my life. But more important than God hearing my voice is that I need to learn to hear His voice. I want to know what saith the Lord. I want to understand His will for my life. I want to see where I'm going. I want to know what purpose He has in this day's events and in the next day's events. I want to find direction for my life. I want to find strength. I want to find healing. But I need to hear God's voice. Praise God. When we fail to listen, when we fail to hear God's voice, sometimes we run into problems. We may find something. I just want to dramatize this a little bit, okay? Everyone said okay. Yeah. All right, thank you. We run into a little situation. If we don't listen to God's voice, we can run into something like this, where we get to the point where we say, oh no, what a terrible situation. What am I going to do? I can't believe I let this happen. The bank's foreclosing, my job is cutting back my hours, and I don't know how I'm ever going to pay the bills. What am I going to do? Oh, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. Please, God, help me.
Hello. God's speaking.
What am I going to do? Oh, God.
Yes, speaking.
God, is that you? Are you actually speaking to me?
Yes, my son. You called. I answered.
Oh, God, what am I going to do? My finances are a mess. My home is being foreclosed on, and my job is going down the tubes. What do I do?
Malachi 3, verses 6 through 11. Luke chapter 6, verse 38.
What? What are those, Bible verses? But I need help right now. If something doesn't change, my marriage is going to fall apart. I have enough problems with that woman with the financial pressures on top of it.
1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 17. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 7.
But God, a Bible study? I don't have time or the patience for a Bible study. If I don't get some answers, I'm afraid I'm going to go crazy.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
Oh man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? God just doesn't seem interested. He won't hear my prayers and He won't tell me what to do. Oh man, what am I going to do? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, a lot of the answers we're looking for, they're already here. And just for the record, I was dramatizing. I wasn't talking about my wife, okay?
Are you sure, my child?
Praise God. You're supposed to be helping me, brother. Amen. According to Barna Studies, Survey and Research Corporation, they did interviews with thousands of people during the year. They synthesized the findings across numerous studies and summarized four themes that have emerged from his research concerning religion in 2009. The first theme was this, that increasingly Americans are more interested in faith and in spirituality than they are in Christianity. These days, he said, The faith arena is a marketplace from which we get ideas and beliefs and relationships and habits. You shop for these things at church. Rituals and traditions that make immediate, everyone said immediate, immediate sense to us and with which we are comfortable. The notion of associating with a particular faith, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or some other strain, still has appeal because that connection provides a discernible identity and facilitates the possibility of belonging to something meaningful. But the actual components of what we choose to belong to are driven by our momentary needs and perceptions. This is the attitudes that they're finding when they do. Ultimately, in a culture where people are busy, distracted, confused, and trying to keep it all together, there is less loyalty to a faith brand than to self. The purpose of faith for most Americans is not so much to discover truth or to relate to a loving, praiseworthy deity as it is to become happy, successful, comfortable, and secure. For a growing percentage of citizens, their sense of spirituality, more than Christianity, facilitates those outcomes. What's the focus of that kind of religion? It's on me. The second theme they find is faith in the American context is now individual and customized. Americans are comfortable with an altered spiritual experience as long as they can participate in the shaping of that faith experience. It's called itching ears. I'll believe what I want, and I want you to tell me what I believe. Now that we are comfortable with the idea of being spiritual as opposed to devoutly Christian, Barna said, Americans typically draw from a broad treasury of moral, spiritual, and ethical sources of thought to conduct a uniquely personal brand of faith, feeling freed from the boundaries established by Christian faith and immersed in a postmodern society which revels in participation, personal expression, satisfying relationships, and authentic experiences. We become our own unchallenged spiritual authorities, defining truth and reality as we see it. Consequently, more and more people are engaged in hybrid faiths, mixing elements from different historical eras and divergent theological perspectives. In some ways, we're creating the ultimate ecumenical movement where nothing is deemed right or wrong. And all ideas, beliefs, and practices are assigned equal validity. Everyone is invited to join the dialogue, enjoy the ride, and feel connected to a far-reaching community of believers. Screening or critiquing what the community believes is deemed rude and inappropriate. Pragmatism and relativism, rather than any sort of absolutism, has gained momentum. The third theme that Barna found was this: biblical literacy is neither a current reality nor a goal in the United States. Bible reading has become the religious equivalent of soundbite journalism. When people read from the Bible, they typically open it, read a brief passage without much regard for the context, and consider the primary thought or feeling that the passage provided. If they're comfortable with it, they accept it. Otherwise, they deem it interesting but irrelevant to their life and move on. There is shockingly little growth evident in people's understanding of the fundamental themes of the Scriptures and amazingly little interest in deepening their knowledge and application of biblical principles. Barna noted that some of the critical assumptions of many preachers and Bible teachers is inaccurate. The problem facing the Christian church is not that people lack a complete set of beliefs. The problem is, listen to this, it's not that people lack a set of beliefs, it's that they believe that they have a full slate of beliefs in mind, which they think are consistent with biblical teachings. And they are neither open to being proven wrong or to learning new insights. Tell me what the Bible says as long as it agrees with what I believe. Research suggests that this challenge initially emerges in the late adolescent or teenage years. By the time most Americans reach the age of 13 or 14, they think they pretty much know everything. Oh, wait, it says know everything of value. the Bible has to teach, and they are no longer interested in learning more scriptural content. That's not true of our young people, by the way. It requires increasingly concise, creative, reinforced, and personally relevant efforts to penetrate people's minds with new or more accurate insights into genuinely biblical principles. In a culture driven by the desire to receive value, more Bible teaching is generally not viewed as an exercise in providing such value. And then there's a group of statistics that go with this. I won't go into that, but the point is this. These three points, people want spirituality and faith. As long as they can define what it is. They want to design their own truth. And thirdly, they don't want to learn or know. They really don't want to learn or know what the Bible says. Praise God. And then I did do some research. A Pew Research study showed much of the same thing. Belief in God, 71% of the population believes in God. And only 79%, listen to this, 79% of the religious affiliated believe in God. That means you take 10 religiously affiliated people and put them in a room and only 8 of them really believe in God. Why the other 2 are doing their religion, I don't know, but they don't believe in God, evidently. 78% of the people in the United States claim to be Christian, 5% claim to be other religions, and 6% claim to be religious, but they're unaffiliated. 39% of the population, of the general population of the United States, attend weekly services. Now, wait a minute. 71% believe in God, but only 39% attend services regularly. Okay? And only 46% of the religious affiliated attend service regularly. Less than half of the people that claim to be religious go to church or synagogue on a weekly basis. Total population read the scripture weekly. Not daily, weekly. Only 35%. 40% of the religious affiliated read the scripture. 60%, just less than 2 out of 3 evangelical Protestants read their Bible on a weekly basis. And 27% of mainline Protestants, whatever that is, read their Bibles on a weekly basis. You can assign the categories as you will. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about the culture we live in? Now, the problem with that is that too often the culture bleeds into the church. And oftentimes we as the people of God, the family of God, we evaluate ourselves and measure ourselves according to the world around us. And we say, well, you know, I'm doing better off than that guy. At least I read my Bible once in a while. Hallelujah. But the thing is that every time we fail to read our Bible, every time we fail to go to church, every time we fail to pray, every time we fail to look to God to hear His voice, we're missing something. We're losing out on something. We're missing something that God has for us. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith cometh by hearing. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, everyone said faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. If you're going to have faith, you have to believe that God is and that God is a rewarder. Now, Romans 10. I better read that from my Bible. We'll be turn to Romans 10. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Praise God. That's speaking. That's not only talking about the written word of God. That's talking about the spoken word of God. The Rhema. The word of God which we preach. Now, keep in mind as we read this that the book of Romans was written to the people of God. That this message is to God's people, emphasizing the necessity to hear the word of God. To hear God's voice. Everyone say God's voice. For with the heart, man, I jumped down, didn't I? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's talking about a continual, ongoing confession, an experience with God that continues. If you continue to live out the profession and the confession of faith, salvation will be attained in the end. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, again, we're talking about we want to call on God. We want to cry out to God. We want God to hear our prayer. But the writer of Romans takes this concept, calling on the Lord, expressing this faith that God has given us, and he turns it around. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You need to hear the word of God in order to be effectively calling on God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does that mean? That means if I want to approach God on a subject, on a topic, and I want to find God's will in my life, the faith that I need to see God work in my life comes not by the manner necessarily in which I approach Him. The faith doesn't come in how hard I can concentrate or on how good I've behaved in recent moments. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the presence of God speaks to me the word of God, and my heart receives that word, then that's where faith begins in my life, where I can begin to do the thing that God has called on me to do, where I can begin to receive the blessing that God has in store for me, where I can begin to experience the healing that God has promised me. When in my heart I hear the word of God speaking, and it speaks to me, and I receive it, that's where the miracle is, that's where the healing is, that's where the deliverance is, that's where the salvation is. Faith comes by, everyone say, hearing. Praise God. I believe with all my heart that God is speaking here tonight, not just through the words that I am using, but by the presence of God that is here. As the word of God is spoken, and as the word of God is read, when the Bible is read, God can speak to every soul in this place on a different topic, on a different idea, whatever it is you need tonight, whether I address it directly or not, God can still minister here by the word of God, by the power of God, if you will hear His voice. Everyone said, hear His voice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Kings 19. The Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. To me, that's encouraging. Hallelujah. Anybody ever call fire down from heaven? Not yet. Good answer. Elijah was a man of miracles. He had a powerful ministry. He was known as the prophet of fire. The hand of God was on him. It was obvious that God was working through him. Praise God. He had a face-off with the prophets of Baal, and without telling the whole story, he stood up to them, and as a result, God destroyed the prophets of Baal. They were in service to the Queen Jezebel and King Ahab. And as a result of this encounter, Jezebel became enraged with the prophet and wanted to destroy him. And I think Elijah lost heart. I know sometimes when you pour yourself into something, whether it's preaching a message or whether it's something at work, a project you've been working on a long time, when you finally accomplish that goal, when you get to the point where you poured yourself into it and you reach the culmination of all your efforts and it goes off big time and everything works and God does a great thing or your boss gives you the bonus or whatever it is, there seems to be a letdown afterwards. Somehow it's just, I've talked to other people and I know it happens that way for me. I told my wife, I preached on Wednesday night and I said, Brother Grant asked me to preach tonight and I said, I'm still recovering from Wednesday night. Hallelujah. That's what Elijah felt. His heart was weak. He didn't know what to do. The queen was after him. So he ran away, basically, and God met with him, sent the angel of the Lord and ministered to him, and he had some miraculous experiences, but he ends up in the mountainside. And he up on the mountain, and this I refer to this passage a lot because it's so meaningful. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now let me say this first of all. Elijah was able to hear God speak to him. Now sometimes we expect to hear God's voice when we haven't paid any attention to him for a long time. We expect, and it's not that God isn't talking to us. I believe that God's talking to us all the time. I think it's kind of like a radio that we have to get on the right wavelength. And if your dial's been tuned in somewhere else for weeks at a time, sometimes it's kind of hard to find that right wavelength where God is. God's been talking all along, and you just haven't been receiving the signal. But now Elijah has his heart is, he's afraid. He ran away, but God's still talking to him. And he's still able to hear because he's used to hearing God's voice. He spent time with him. He's prayed. He's submitted himself to the will of God and to the voice of God. So when God speaks, he can hear it. Praise God. Next verse. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. What does that sound like? Yeah, pity party. Now, it's easy for us to judge, not having had to call down fire from heaven on a sacrifice full of water with hundreds of prophets breathing down our neck. But nonetheless, that is what it is. And he's making a statement here that really isn't true. Maybe he knows it, maybe he doesn't. But what he's doing is he's expressing how he feels. God, this is how I feel. You want to know what I'm doing here? This is what I'm doing here. This is why I'm here. He's speaking rather directly to the God of the universe. He's expressing his heart. He's expressing his fears, his doubts. Now, God knows that. God understands that, even though he's not really right in what he's saying. Next verse. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not, everyone said not, not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Now, surely the Lord's in the fire, right? But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Well, I feel that. I feel the presence of God right now. Hallelujah. There's a still small voice in this room right now, in this house. Hallelujah. Let's worship God just for a moment. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is speaking. Hallelujah. God is speaking. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I'm not convinced that it was God's will for Elijah to be where he was. I can't say for sure whether it was God's will or not. I don't believe that it was God's will for Elijah necessarily to run from the queen in the first place. I don't know that the Bible says one way or the other. But whatever the case, Elijah is, God has something for him to do. God has a job for him to do. God has called him. And Elijah accepted the call. And God's not done yet. God's not done yet. God's not done yet. I'm not talking about Elijah anymore. God's not done yet. God's not done yet. God's not done yet. Say that. God's not done yet. Praise God. Look in your own life and say, God's not done yet. God's not done yet. God spoke to Elijah and he said, I'm not done yet. What are you doing here? Spoke to him in a still, small voice. It was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? I have a feeling that Elijah knew that God didn't want him to be there any longer, but God, Elijah was holding out. Elijah was still feeling sorry for himself. Elijah was still feeling worn out. He was still thinking about the price, the cost of serving God. Do I want to do this anymore? Do I want to follow the call of God? Do I want to do the will of God? Do I want to even listen to the voice of God anymore? I like the fire. I like the tornado. I like the earthquake. I like it when things are happening. But God wanted him to hear his voice. Praise God. And he said, I have been very jealous for... He came up with the same response. Isn't that funny how we fall back on the same responses frequently when we deal with... Because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I, only I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God said, that ain't working. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Praise God. God spoke in a still small voice and he let Elijah know. Let's go verse 16. He let Elijah know, I'm not done yet. Jehu, the son of, there's a lot to do. Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of him, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehiel shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Elijah, you're not on your own. You're not by yourself. It's not you and you alone that God is calling to do the work that he set before you. 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Praise God. Two messages God had. You're not alone. And I'm not done yet. You're not alone. And he's not done yet. We're not alone. And he's not done yet. We're not alone. And he's not done yet. Hallelujah. You may feel like there's nothing happening in your life right now. You may not feel the earth shaking. You may not see the fire falling. You may not see the wind blowing, but God's working in your life. He's not done yet. He's not done yet. And you're not alone. Hallelujah. God didn't bring you here tonight to rattle your cage. He didn't bring you here to shake your world. He came here to talk to you. He came here to speak to you in a still small voice to let you know that you're not alone. And he's not done yet. Hello, God speaking. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We came here, every one of us came here tonight with a need in our lives. I don't know what your need is. I don't know if you need salvation. I don't know if you need healing. I don't know if you need deliverance. Maybe you need to be made warm again. Maybe you're cold in the spirit. Maybe you lost your way. But I have a thought, and I think it's valid, that everyone came here tonight already having heard from God, already having had God deal with you, already having the Holy Ghost stir your heart. You knew what you needed to hear when you came into this place tonight. You knew what you needed to talk to God about and what God wanted to talk to you about. And even if I don't even mention the subject, I know that God heard your prayer, and I know that you can hear God's voice talk to you about your situation tonight before you leave this place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hello, God's speaking! What do you need from God tonight? Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the Word of God. God's never going to tell you anything that doesn't agree with this Word. God's never going to tell you to lie or cheat or steal or murder. He's not going to tell you anything like that. Whatever God speaks to you, it's going to be confirmed by His Word and confirmed by the authority that He places over you. But God is speaking to every one of us here tonight. What do you need from God? He may not give you the whole answer. He may not tell you what's going to happen 5 years from now. But if you will listen to His voice and you do what He calls on you to do here and now, this day, the next day, when God speaks to you and you obey His voice, then He will make a way for your needs to be met, whatever it be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God. I started this message. I was getting prepared I was going to start praying and preparing for this message, and I told Brother Thomas this, that whenever I do any kind of study, I developed a habit. I always try to read the Bible, just read the Bible for myself. I read through the Bible. Every year, I'm almost done. I'm in the book of Revelations. I don't read it through every year. I just read continually through till I'm done. There have been times when I've read the whole thing in 1 year, but I find I get more out of it if I read one chapter a day rather than three chapters a day. Sometimes I don't do it, you know, and then I suffer. But I started reading in the book of Revelation. I've been listening to, there's a radio preacher that's been covering the book of Revelation. And of course, I heard Brother Grant teach on the book of Revelation. I started reading, I think it was the sixth chapter, and I got to about the fifth verse, and I started evaluating now, you know, this guy's saying that, and I know what, and Brother Grant teaches this, and I'm trying to fit all this, I'm trying to study while I read. And it just flashed into my mind, this isn't study time. This is time to listen to God. Because that's why I do that. I read the Bible first for myself before I try to prepare something to preach for someone else. Because if I don't hear from God, if God can't talk to me, how can I talk to someone else? And it was just like, I can't say for sure that it was the Lord that said stop, but something spoke in my heart and said, now wait a minute. Why are you reading this? And I thought to myself, well, I'm reading it because I want to be open to God. I want to hear from. Well, then stop trying to study everything and just read my word and hear my voice. Praise God. You don't have to determine whether Calvary Gospel Church does everything just right. Everything about this service doesn't have to be exactly the way you expected it to be. There may be a song you don't like. Maybe somebody hit a bad note. I doubt it. I never heard it. Maybe you're disappointed that the person you thought was going to be preaching isn't preaching. But I'm telling you that the presence of God is here. And what is important is that you hear what God has to say to you. Praise God. You can come at this time and you can respond to the voice of God. Whatever you need tonight on this side, we want, if you need healing, hallelujah, God will speak to you. Take the promise. It's like Pastor Grant said this morning. Grab a hold of the promise. He said, Brother Parker said, grab the promise of God and hold on to it. That's His word. And if God has spoken His word to you, if you've received that word, then hold on to it. That's where the faith is. Come and receive your healing. If you need help in an area that you're struggling with, come down into the middle of this area down front. We call it the altar. And let God minister to you.